All right, guys, welcome to the Media Hijack Podcast. I'm your host, Billy Walters, and joining me is Chris Unholy Jesus.
We're back.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Media Hijack, episode 143.
Let's go.
Before we get started, if you guys want to buy some official Media Hijack t-shirts like this, we sold like 12 last week because, you know, we're just out there.
Gang, gang. Let's go. Also, our cult is building. Yes.
Yeah, we're building a cult, man.
Let's go.
Also, if you guys want to visit us on Reddit, you can join our Reddit community and post whatever you guys want over there. Chris is pretty much the boss over there because I lost my account. I lost everything.
What?
Yeah, I couldn't even get my account. I was trying to, I don't know. Shell shock, I need help.
Help. Save me.
Also, if you guys want to catch the replay for this live Twitch video, you can head over to our YouTube page and don't forget to subscribe over there. And if you're audio listeners, don't forget to rate, comment, subscribe. Give us that 5-star frog splash.
Let's do it.
And let's get started with the show. All right, so the first topic, we're going to be covering Egyptian cover-up in the Grand Canyon. You know, it could be like just a fun little hoax story, or it could be something more to it because of how much detail that came with the story and how the background of the guy he was actually working with, the Smithsonian Museum.
Smithsonian. There you go.
Smithsonian.
There you go. with the F.
So he was a part of that, and then he discovered all these weird mummies, according to him, mummies like inside of, you know, the Grand Canyon in areas that was like blocked off. So... who knows?
Hey, man.
Is he making it up or because he got nothing out of it?
As always. A lot of these guys don't have anything out of it.
He probably got fired and be like, hey, get out of here. Ain't no Egyptians out here. Like, come on. That doesn't even make any sense. But before we get started, there was like a story I came across about the Dalai Lama.
Oh, I got that for tonight.
Getting canceled?
Yes. That's going to be one of my topics.
Should we save it?
Yeah, save it. I got this motherfucker. Oh my god, that was crazy.
Okay, so we'll save that because I saw it. I saw the clip.
You saw the video? Bam! Yeah, we got to talk about it. Oh my god.
Okay, so we'll talk about that right after that.
Yes, Egyptian. That's gonna be.
All right, so we'll get started.
All right.
So Egyptian cover up. All right, so this guy named G.E. Kincaid. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I'm saying it wrong. Claimed to have discovered a series of underground chambers in the Grand Canyon in 1909 that contain artifacts and hieroglyphs resembling those of ancient Egypt. So the story is, this dude, they were out at the Grand Canyon looking for like new stuff. And then he came across like this one area where there was like hundreds of stairs that led him down to like chambers. And then he went down the chambers and they discover all these like artifacts, like old ancient looking artifacts that's probably like, you know, from way back then because of how it was made, like with copper and with everything. And then he saw like tombs, like mummy tombs, where he's saying they're on the walls, a bunch of mummy tombs. And then on top of that, artifacts that looks like hieroglyphs that you would see in Egypt. So he was like, hey, this doesn't make any sense.
What's this doing here in America?
Yeah, they couldn't figure out, like, the hieroglyph. They're like, is this Egyptian shit? Like, we don't understand. Because, like, if it was, like, Egyptian shit, they probably did came, like, before Native Americans. Like, supposedly, cause, you know.
Yeah, that means they would have had to build boats and shit.
Or... yeah, because it wouldn't even make sense for them to even travel that far, like, according to how everything, what the history taught us.
Mm-hmm. I was about to think, when was the first boat invented? Like, when was the... the first time anyone ever like hit the blue waves in a boat with people. I don't even know. I have no idea. I was about to say either did a boat or Stargate. Boom.
Yeah, like not just like build a boat, but build a boat and learn how to navigate.
Yeah, you know.
Because that's a skill.
I think all that shit started with like stars though. Mm-hmm. Like with navigation and all that. I might be wrong, but I think of the stars and
that's something like, I don't know, like how do you teach somebody to navigate with the stars unless it's somebody knew more than
somebody taught them?
Oh, like a god, huh?
Something. You know, I was talking to somebody at the gym a couple weeks ago and they went on this rant, which was a good rant though, and it was explaining about how back then they were more advanced than us and whatnot, which everybody, you know, that kind of delves in that conspiracy believes in the whole there was more advanced society before machines came in. And damn basically just burnt out this planet at this point. But so it was like there's more technology advanced back then and more knowledgeable about the stuff, but on a more greener planet, you know. And then after the industrial period, which is like World War II era, like 1930s and 40s, that's when the planet is like, okay, now it kind of shifted over to a different reality of, all right,
now more we're like mechanic.
Yeah, it's all machines now.
Yeah, all machines.
And yeah, we're just spitting all this black smoke into the sky.
The rise of the machines.
Yes, man. Skynet, I guess, or Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I can definitely see the mysteries. And us, too, in this day and age, because it's been so long ago, I can see how, like, how did they make it work? But only they would know. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
They had sky people help.
They had to. They had to get something.
A.K.A. Little G's.
Showing up, man.
Little G's. All right, so King Kincaid was reportedly working as a guide at the Smithsonian Institution at that time. And, you know, his claims about, you know, the Egyptian shit, you know, it caught all this attention from the press and from the public. And according to Kincaid, the underground chambers were located in a remote area of the Grand Canyon and could only be reached by climbing down a sheer cliff. And what's crazy about, like, this whole, like, Grand Canyon thing, like, that area and stuff, it was, like, the president at the time, I don't know who it was, they blocked off that area to where the public can't go no more because they're trying to, they say, like, preserve the area from getting fucked up, which I can understand also.
Man, people will do that, man.
Yeah.
They be pissing and shit on stuff.
There's, like, a big chunk of the Grand Canyon that's completely cut off from the public a while ago.
I don't blame him.
And then
but why?
Yeah, this is another question, because if this guy's story is true, you'd be like, okay, so are they hiding something? Or it's just all, you know, like a misinformation thing. And this tour guide that worked for Smithsonian just wanted to get attention.
Yeah. I could be either or. I could see, because there's a lot of opportunities out there trying to make a quick buck. They around every corner, it seemed like. I mean, even during the face of a pandemic, you had scammers out there trying to make bread off of this shit. So there's scammers all over the place. But sometimes there's people actually just want to get the truth out. And
yeah,
the government's like, no, sir. What do you think you're doing?
Yeah. So Shell Shock, he was talking about like the Navajo Indians and all the tribes that's been there like forever.
Mm-hmm.
But like according like to like to this story, I guess they're saying like this was before even the Navajo Indians was there. According to like this story.
Okay.
But then it wouldn't make any sense. Like, that's why it's like a huge monkey wrench. Like, if it was true, it wouldn't even make sense.
Yeah.
So you're like, what the hell happened? Is this guy, this tour guide, did he went off the rails and like, was trying to be cute? Or did he really did come across something, but it's just something that's just too far out there to where they're like, I don't think we should even give really this information out.
Yeah,
because he was saying, like, once he was inside the chamber, like, he claimed to have found, like, a variety of artifacts, including mummies, copper weapons, a stone tablet inscribed with, like, hieroglyphs. He also claimed he found, like, evidence of an ancient irrigation system that ran through all the tunnels that stretches out miles and miles, like a legit irrigation system.
Shit.
So and if you hear a tour guide talking about that, you're like, damn, like, in 1909, they're probably thinking, like, okay, like, What's happening? What's going on?
Because
back then, you're not just posting shit on the internet. You're on the ground.
Yeah, you got to go there.
Fucking riding shit like, hey, Grand Canyon, there's something in. Like, there's more than what we think we know, you know?
It's a hell of a lot more.
And then they're like, man, shut your mouth. Egyptians were never here. Be quiet.
It's always been.
Meanwhile, they're like fucking, like taking out a Stargate.
Oh yeah, in the background,
take that Stargate out.
It's like two dudes carrying it. Each side.
Roosevelt. What was the president at that time?
Oh yeah, Roosevelt. Wasn't he like a big outdoorsman type of dude? He was like a Roosevelt. Yeah.
So like, I guess the official story would be like he blocking off the area to like protect like the natives that lived
there.
Which makes sense.
I think it's. I remember when I was in Colorado, they got like spots like that. Like that whole region was like Native American heavy, and some of the stuff they try to do keep preserved for sure. A thing.
So like despite of like all the claims that Kincaid was talking about, like there's actually no credible evidence to support the existence of an underground chamber that he described. Like there's nothing like no evidence of anything that he was talking about. That's why it's like you know, it's just one big hoax, mm-hmm. just for, you know, so other people can, I don't know, make money off of it. I mean, who knows? Like, seeing it is different from just hearing a story,
right?
Because you always got to make your own judgment, and then it's at the end of the day, it's just a story.
That's all
true or not. But if it is true, I mean, I'm always gonna leave that little door open, just a little bit, just in case,
just like a little breeze in a little bit.
So I'd be like, oh yeah, I never closed that book on that Egyptian in the Grand Canyon. No, you know, left that door open, so when that shit hit the fan, like, hey,
you know what, guys?
I had a good feeling that this shit might be real.
So, I mean, I wasn't trying to say I told y'all so, but
look back on episode 143. Rojam says it's hard to trace back the native cultures because a lot of the history is not written, only told.
Yeah,
the Navajo Code Talkers were effective in World War II because their language wasn't written.
Yes, it's true.
I heard, like, with the Native Americans, the Navajos and stuff, like, their language is the most difficult to even learn.
I can't be surprised.
Yeah, it just didn't. It's like you can't even, like, really teach that shit. But here's what I heard, like, from somebody that's been dabbling, like, with aliens and stuff, mm-hmm. and what the aliens told them. Because they asked the aliens, like, what language you speak? Like, we don't speak. They said, we don't speak none of your language. But, like, the one language that's the most similar to how they speak, mm-hmm. is the Indians. And I was like, oh. I was like, there's something going on. With the Native Americans and the Indians, they're very spiritual.
Yeah, yeah.
So you would imagine, like, they were probably cut from a cloth that's, like, closest to, like, a descendant of an alien.
Yeah, the stars.
And then when I heard that, I was like, oh, shit. That shit all fucking came together. I was like, their language would be, like, the most.
Closest to,
like, an alien race.
Because I don't know anybody who knows Native American language.
Yeah, it's difficult.
At all. I mean, English is difficult, but Native American language is next level shit.
Yeah, it's because, like, they can say, like, one word and it could have, like,
so 50
meanings. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, the tone of how they say it and whatever.
Yeah, it's, like, how the tone, I guess, how to express it.
Yeah.
You got to read between the lines and figure out some shit.
It's like, oh, he think you gay. And all he said was,
I'm happy.
Click, clack.
Is it you?
yeah, man.
Shell Shock says, okay, so he's talking about basically the Native American history. He's saying that they're actually very proficient in their history. It's taught in schools out there. Yeah, they don't really write, they've never really wrote their shit down like that.
But yeah, like, that's why they have, like, legit storytellers, man. They're like, they have to pass those stories down generations, like, you know. They're the legit old school storytellers of ancient Earth.
Yeah, just carrying on, just passing on. Mm-hmm. And then Egypt is like, we're going to write this shit on the walls, and we're going to draw this UFO ship and this angel, and ain't nobody going to know but us.
And we're going to engrave it on, like, the hardest stone on this planet.
With this alien laser that they give us.
Stamp, stamp. Yeah, they're like, in the future, how people are going to communicate is through emojis. Right?
Through energy sent out. But when you say energy, they're going to mean like internet waves and radio waves and shit.
Yeah, because they're like, all right, in the future, they are going to communicate with emojis, and they would be able to understand each other in any country, right? You send an emoji of, like, an eggplant. Every country's like, oh, they talking about dick.
Talking about a big dick.
Yeah, okay. And they're like, okay. Maybe, like, in Egypt times with the hieroglyphs, they're on the same page.
Yeah.
Like, give them, like, a fucking something simple to where they can understand. This is a UFO. This is our god, Anubis.
See this halo?
He has, like, a cool ass head. And look at all these big giants holding human babies. Grown babies.
Grown babies.
But they're giants. And put that on the wall.
Nephilims. Yeah. I remember I watched this video a while ago. And it's talking about the history of memes. And they're saying, like, memes goes, like, as far as, like, when we think of memes nowadays, we think of, like, internet memes. But they're saying, like, memes, and it's basically just, like, a picture that, a generalization that everybody understands and it can relate to. And they say it goes all the way back to, like, ancient Egyptian times with hieroglyphs, where back then, hieroglyphs would be something that generally everybody would be able to understand on some level, I guess. Yeah, so
I think we're getting to that point now. It's like doing a full circle. Now we can understand, like, hieroglyphs. Through, like, through learning tech. Emojis.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's like the universal language.
Because I guarantee you, like, 1,000 years from now, when they look back on our destroyed corpses and when we underneath the dirt and they pull up an iPhone 100, they look at an emoji, they'll be like, what the fuck? And they're going to try to study our shit, too, and they're going to be lost. We're like, what time are you coming over tonight? And they sent an eggplant. What do they mean by this? An egg? What?
What is
this? That was a vegetable.
Yeah, isn't this a plant? What is all this?
Are they bringing an eggplant tonight? I don't get it. Like, this.
It's all these raindrops. What is this? Shell Shock says, there are vast amounts of native settlements out there with hieroglyphs on the wall, especially northern parts of the state. I did not know that.
Oh.
So, like, the hieroglyphs, like, do they look like Egyptian hieroglyphs, or is it, like, their own style? It is, like, their own style. I kind of remember.
With the hieroglyphs for Egypt?
Yeah, where it shows, like, people, like, hunting with spears, yeah, like hunting buffaloes. Shit.
Showing animals, like...
Yeah, that's hieroglyphs.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's just pictures.
Maybe with, like, human hands. Like, the one in Egypt, it's, like, machine-engraved, laser-cut.
And they're actually trying to write a language out that...
Yeah, she's, like, stamp. It's all perfect and shit.
Shell Shock says it's their own style but similar stuff.
Yeah, because you would see like alien spaceships, right? I don't know if it's real or not, but you would look at the side of the alien spaceship and it will have like it's written on the edges would be like hieroglyphs that looks like Egyptian shit. So I'm like, man, are these Egyptian people? Do they have ties like with the sky people?
Something close to it.
It had to be, right? They were definitely doing something different than what we are doing right now.
Spiritual.
Because, look, if you're able to build a pyramid, like, at big like that, right? Wouldn't you think, like, okay, why would they abandon this shit?
Right.
Like, a civilization that can do that can fucking stretch the generation out for, like, as long as they want and still upkeep all that. So you would think, like, did something happen to where whoever was involved with, like, the planning of these pyramids being built all around the world, they just all... just bounce one day for a reason.
It was like, yo, they showed up with the mothership and it was like, yo, Egyptians, you guys did exactly what we need y'all to do. Y'all fought, we gave you guys the tools, you followed your path. Now we're gonna take you to the motherland. We're gonna get you off this planet, this prison planet that you can't escape from.
Now drink the Kool-Aid.
just sip this Kool-Aid and we'll take you to the other world. But I don't know, I was thinking like just maybe that they were rewarded for what they did. And then they went off to some other plane of existence or another planet. And but I swear we talked about this before, many times in the podcast, that we live on a prison planet where gravity is holding us down. And even if we do escape, we're surrounded by radiation. So it's like, sometimes I be thinking about space, like, why we got to leave? Like, well, let's take care of this shit here because...
Like, don't leave.
let's try to take care of this here because... it's going to be a long time before we find another gas station in space. So, well, this is...
Yeah, I don't think we even belong in space. Like,
this is just our home.
And we're just supposed to do our shit here. But
they may have figured it out back then. Like, oh, how about we build these pyramids and...
Yeah. I bet, like, back then, right? Like, let's say, like, the gods were like, hey, you guys good? Like, we gave you all the knowledge and we kept a lot of ancient knowledge with your boy, you know, in the back, in the cave. Like, we gave him all the cool shit. Don't fuck with him. But we actually have to go now, you know? And it's like a parent leaving their baby. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, but what if we need to contact you again? Like, we forgot how to grow stuff. They're like,
we gave you all the tools.
If you guys want to contact me, just sacrifice a goat. They showed them like sacrifice, like techniques to where it actually...
some kind of ritual.
Changes like a wave and a frequency to where they can actually contact them.
No.
Like, yeah, just sacrifice babies, goats, like...
maybe sometimes babies surprise us.
Yeah, the surprise baby, us. Yeah, you get that straight direct line. You know,
it's like in a TV show, Supernatural, how demons people that was possessed by demons, when they needed to like communicate with their demon boss in hell.
Damn.
They would kill like an innocent person. They would like slit their throat and let the blood drain out into like a bowl. They would like kill innocent people. Like
would they drink it?
Yeah, nah, then they would like put some like some kind of shit in it or whatever, and they would communicate over the blood, and the blood would like send out like ripple effects as a response of the blood would ripple. It'd be like, and you would never hear the voice of their boss, but like, understood, we'll take care of it. But it's like a way to communicate to the other side, but it was doing like through that he used human blood to do it.
Yeah, I think those are some ways of like tapping into like something in another realm.
blood communication. I don't know what you would call it, but yeah, some kind of
anything that's like really like attached to like the soul like that, or the body, like anything. I think like where it's that strong and heavy.
Yeah,
I think you're able to tap in. Because why would they do these wild ass rituals? Like for what? If it didn't work, why?
Because who thought of this?
Yeah, if it didn't work, like, well, why are you put that chicken back? We're gonna eat that later.
You know? That's dinner. Put it down, man. The hell?
But no, I'm trying to call.
Put my daughter down. What are you doing? You better crack her head open.
Put her down. Yeah, because
who thought of, like, think about this? Who was the first person who was like, yo, we might have to kill somebody in order to, yo, it's been raining. It hasn't rained in like 2 years.
Oh shit,
John, we don't like you. And so we need to take your daughter. Like, well, how did they start this, man? Like, you know?
Yeah, like, it was not random.
It was like, yo, we got some offing people to get some rain going.
Yeah, that's not something you just... Because if you think about it, you don't see monkeys doing sacrifices.
No, man, it's
that's something
shit.
That has to be taught, you know?
They just throw shit.
But imagine we told a monkey, like, yeah, if you sacrifice your firstborn, you get fucking unlimited bananas. They're like, fucking say no more.
Because
we ran out last week.
Starving. So,
like, same like with humans, right? Like, if they wanted something, they're like, something probably told them, like, hey, you need to do these type of rituals. Mm-hmm. Then you can be able to contact, like, a higher god and stuff. And they're like, bet, let's do it.
Show us that you really mean business. Kill your kid.
Mm-hmm. And they have to be virgin kids. They kick the uncle out. Like, hey. No more fiddling with these kids' pianos. We need
everybody stop.
They need to be pure, all of them, you know?
Everyone stop the orgy. It's like, stop the orgy. Wait. Stop the kid orgy.
Oh, shit. This is crazy.
We need the kids.
This is getting wild, man.
I'm just saying.
Put all the kids down. We need them.
Put them down. We need this for communication.
Oh shit!
People wild back then. Yeah, I'm just saying, it might have been.
Yeah, they're wild now, but they're able to hide it a lot.
Yes,
for now. But yeah, so that's the Grand Canyon and the Egyptians. To me, there's no real proof. And if you actually go look at the Grand Canyon, people are trying to make like these certain rock formations, like a pyramid. I was like, I don't know. Like, you could make a pyramid in any stone, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you look at it long enough, like, oh, I think that might be a pyramid.
Yeah,
I
mean, right. But
who knows? Hmm. Like, I haven't been there. I don't know.
Hey, I refuse to go there. I have a fear of falling off that shit.
Mm-hmm.
My girl went, like, last month, her and her mom went to the Grand Canyon. They walked on this glass floor.
Fuck that.
I was like, hell no. You can pay me to stand on old glass over the Grand Canyon. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like seeing pictures of it. I get anxiety when I look at the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, it's too...
It's too much, man.
I don't know. It looked painful.
Oh, yeah.
But that's that. We're going to take a quick break. We'll get back. We'll talk about the Dalai Lama.
Expose him.
Be right back, guys.
All
right. And we're back.
Yes, sir. All
right, I'm going to let Chris start off this Dalai Lama story.
All right, man.
Recent story, huh?
Yes, recent, man. This is what, yesterday, day before we heard about this? Shit. Mm-mm. Dalai Lama is tripping. So it says Dalai Lama apologizes after video asking child to suck his tongue sparks outcry. Now, I've seen all manners of videos on the internet in my lifetime. People's heads blowing up, suicide, all types of crazy shit. People get blown up. This is still one of the most disgusting videos I've seen in recent memory. I watched it and the whole time I was cringing. I was like, this is so weird. The first thing that popped in my brain was, did this motherfucker not know the cameras was on? That was my first reaction. Like, he must think he's in his chambers.
well, like, explain to people like what actually happened in this video.
Okay, so the Dalai Lama, he basically wound up apologizing because this 87-year-old man, the Dalai Lama guy, has in this video that went viral this past weekend, shows that a young boy could be seen approaching the Nobel Peace Prize winner, Jesus Christ, before asking, can I hug you, right? So kid gets up on stage, goes up to Dalai Lama, hey, can I hug you? An 87-year-old spiritual leader then invites the boy on stage and points to his cheek and says, first here, prompting the boy to give him a hug and a kiss.
Mm.
The Dalai Lama then points to his lips and says, then I think finally here too.
Oh, damn.
He then pulls the boy's chin and kisses him on the mouth, which then leads to him saying, he sticks out his tongue straight up. This is insane. He sticks out his tongue and tells him the boy to suck his tongue like Jesus he's Nicolas Christ. Cage from Face Off. I'm not joking. This is the most insane shit I've seen in recent memory.
I saw the clip, but then he the Dalai Lama was talking to the boy, right? And then he puts like his head with his head.
Yeah, they touched heads.
Yeah, like they're exchanging energies or whatever, or or read my thoughts type of thing, you know?
You don't want to do it, you.
And then I guess the boy was like, this is Fortnite got the most pipe. Like, this shit got weird real quick, you know? Because when the Dalai Lama, he was asking him for a kiss, like, you know, like, he did the little puckered. The boy was like, nah, fam. Like,
the little boy was like, y'all see this?
I don't even kiss my parents. Like, nah. But then it got weird when Dalai Lama stuck his tongue out, told him to suck his tongue. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, don't you see everybody around, like, they don't even do that in the Vatican. They wait for the cameras off.
At least the Vatican got at least the class. They got some class to like wait till they go backstage with the little kid.
And it's like, I was like, what's that?
What's that?
What's that noise? Ben?
Somebody getting slapped? Pope
Francis or whatever his name is.
Somebody getting slapped in the face? But no, but yo, this dude was tripping, and so.
That's so nasty, man.
Man, and so when I saw the video at the very end of the clip, you see the boy go in close to his tongue.
He was about to do it too.
Man, the kid's like, man, I don't know how else to get out of this, bro.
Shit.
They're going to put me under the porch tonight. I got to.
Yeah,
what? If I don't do this, I got to.
Imagine if the kid actually did it, how outraged like the whole world would be.
Man, look, I'm not even surprised this happened, to be honest, because remember we talked about Mother Teresa before, the beloved Mother Teresa, who was a fucking piece of shit.
Damn.
And no, she was horrible. She's
imagine
a
imagine not knowing the backstory, though.
Oh, no, we did an episode about it.
Like somebody just clipped that out, like, damn, Chris. Mother Teresa, a piece of shit.
She is horrible because, and we talked about it before, about how she treated like the sick, and instead of giving them, you know, some kind of medical aid, she was basically just having these people show up at her hospices and basically like allowing them to die in painful deaths over diseases and stuff, only because she felt like, well, it's not like she wouldn't offer them medicine or anything, but felt like, hey, it's God. Basically, she was sacrificing these people for God. Mm. Weird shit. And then she, Nobel Peace Prize winner. And as I've gotten older, I started to realize too, with these type of people of these type of movements, when they try to put a face to it, it's always flawed. I don't see why can it just be a movement or a belief, a faceless belief. Mm-hmm. Why is it always got to be a person too? People are flawed. And a lot of people get in these positions to either want to either be predators, especially the ultimate predator, where they have access to kids like this. And I was listening to a podcast yesterday too, which I remember the Dalai Lama doing this, but I completely forgot about it. But he's always been a weird guy anyways, because back in the mid-2000s, 2010s, he talks about how like, well, yeah, I love ladies. I'm just paraphrasing you to say this, yeah. But he's like, I love chicks, and you know, I'm a feminist, and hey, I'm all for women's rights and all this other stuff.
Like, who are you?
And yeah. The Dalai Lama was like, and then he went weird with it. It was like, and you know, when I'm gone, I want the next person, this Dalai Lama, I want to be a female, but she can't be fat. She has to be hot.
Damn.
I don't know when. It's like, what are you? What is this? The America's Next Top Model? What are you talking about? You fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
He's always been a strange guy.
I was reading like a comment, and one of them is saying like that you would live long enough to become the villain.
Yo.
I think like in this case, like we can see Dalai Lama becoming like something he was against, and you know, like becoming a different character. But I could almost think like, what if like his body did get hijacked by something that's so weird? Because I mean, who would do that, right? Stick your tongue out, tell a kid to suck it in front of everybody.
Man.
That behavior is not even normal with any culture or anything.
Yeah, unless he's getting so old that he forgot that, you know, you ain't, his assistant was like, Mr. Lama, hey, you're not in your chamber, sir. Stop. The cameras are on.
You're actually in public.
You're actually in public.
Cameras are live.
You're supposed to be nice with the kids in public, not.
We can't
not
delete this footage. Yeah.
This dude was tripping. I was shocked by this, but at the same time, I wasn't.
Yeah. Once you get in like a position where people praise you like that, I don't know.
Yeah, the same right now.
Humans still, they got free will and there's still human greed or whatever they need, to fulfill.
No matter what position they're in.
Yeah, I was listening to the podcast with Joe Rogan and David Cho. And David Cho was talking about how he went like through the sex phase, like having sex with all this woman stuff, like doing all these wild shit. And then his friend was like, man, you're like 2 weeks away from sucking dick. you know, because he was doing all these extreme shit. And like, yeah, you're almost dude, there.
When you start doing extreme stuff, it always escalates.
Yeah,
it's like just, it's like with the porn star Brian Pumper. And allegedly, he does this, but porn star Brian Pumper from back in the day slept with all these women in his career, but I guess like regular sex wasn't doing it for him, mm-hmm. so he started getting to like scat, which women just shit on his chest and stuff. But these are the things like it escalates when you get like
what is scat? Say it again.
Scat is if you got kids, folks, take him out the room. Is when you
earmuffs.
You wrap some plastic around your chest and you let somebody like just squat over it and pinch a loaf.
Damn.
And I heard you can feel the heat through the plastic. I've never.
I'm pretty sure.
I've never done this, but I've heard of this before, and that's what he started getting into.
Because the body is pretty hot.
It's just hot as shit in there. It's like a fucking furnace.
Damn! Imagine like just pure diarrhea.
Oh, just shotguns out. But that's what Brian Pumper was into. But that's because
second degree burn.
Oh shit!
From Indian food.
Oh my god!
Damn.
Oh, sriracha. No, yeah, but so that's what he was into. And it's like the life of a porn star just wasn't enough for him now. So it's like it happens with people. It's like, man, I got to escalate this shit.
That's so wild, man. So yeah, just slow down with all that.
Yeah.
Or you just end up being just as wild as these people that's done so much in life, like sexually, to where, you know, nothing does it for them.
Yeah,
but they have to go extreme, you know.
Got to, man. Got to kick it to the next level. It's like a serial killer. They always start off with like little animals and shit.
Little
it's
birds.
Like, damn, I'm trying. And they'd be like, man, I'm trying to kill these birds and the rabbits. I want to escalate to like people, and
that's how it starts.
And they start making meatloaf, man. You know what I'm saying? Jeffrey Dahmer.
Jeffrey D.
But yeah, so I won't be surprised going forward. We start hearing accusations of people coming out saying, yeah, Dalai Lama. Yo, he was all over me like back when I was a kid, and he started dropping pills in my drinks and in my Capri Sun, and
horrible. Man, if I was a kid, he said that shit. I don't know. He probably would have had me in his chamber.
I'm like, yo. If I was a kid, I'm like, yo, y'all see this? Please, like, don't let him take me.
I would have been in that chamber, man. You know.
Yeah. So that's it for Dalai Lama. I got nothing else more about it. It's very short. This is still new. This is still breaking news. If there's any more stuff that comes out about it, we're going to be on top of this motherfucker.
Yeah, his soul is gone. You don't play like that.
A Nobel Peace Prize winner, man. Y'all need to... Yeah. Y'all got to vet these people, boy.
There's no real monks that play like that.
No.
Not no real monk.
For real. Like, I thought about with your father and all this stuff, the monk stuff, and I was like, this ain't how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Y'all just letting the wrong man. It happens, man. People not qualified for the fucking job. That happens a lot.
All right, next story. All right, so a company is planning to launch artificial shooting star. It's a Japanese company called ALE has announced plans to produce the world's first human-made meteor shower in 2025.
What?
The project is called Sky Canvas, which is a cool-ass name.
Oh, I do like that.
Sky Canvas.
Very cool.
Which involves sending small 1-centimeter metallic pellets into space and releasing them around 400 kilometers above Earth.
Okay.
The firm's research have successfully created a multicolored shooting star in ground-based experiments, but you know it's still right now is unclear if they can actually produce this like in orbit. But it's actually like a Tokyo-based firm, and you know they hope like by doing this experiment and stuff, they can still gain a lot of insight on climate and collect data within the you know the atmosphere and everything.
Okay.
So it's not just like something just for fun. They're actually doing it to collect data with the atmosphere, how everything is affected with climate.
Okay. Yeah, you answered my question before I can get it out. I was like, what is this for?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we doing this?
It's not just visuals, but it's for learning.
Hey, there you go, man.
And I think it's pretty cool.
Let's learn about the atmosphere. I think we need to learn more about it, so then we can be like, "Oh shit, we are burning this planet out, man. We are wearing this bitch out. We gotta slow down."
And then the gods come back. They're like, how's those pyramids? Goddamn!
Stings here. What the hell?
Everybody throwing all these like Dorito bags and shit everywhere. Nothing but scraps all over like ancient pyramid sites.
Oh my god. It's like y'all built a city right next to the pyramids? Cairo. I'm surprised. I'm still shocked that they built the city that close, but of course they probably use it as like a tourist spot, obviously.
I know.
That's shit, man. It's supposed to be ancient, man. Y'all sitting right on top of it. They're gonna show up and like, yo, we didn't leave this planet. Like, last time we was here, it didn't look like this. Y'all made a what? A bomb? A nuke? Y'all made this?
Now you in trouble, Earth.
Chernobyl? What is going on? What y'all do here?
The crazy thing with Chernobyl, like, they said that that place is unused for the next 20,000 years.
Yeah, some long shit, like 1,000 years. Wow, long shit. Right? Yeah, that's how long radiation, like, I think it's not called, like, a shelf life. Is it called shelf life? But basically, radiation that just sits in the area for just thousands and thousands of years. And I watched a little documentary about it, about Chernobyl, and it was on YouTube. And these guys actually went to Chernobyl with the little radiation, like, machines and all that stuff. And one guy wasn't really wearing a suit because I guess certain parts of the radiation level is not as high as it used to. But they're saying, like, everything is irradiated. And everything in the area is completely irradiated from the plants all the way down to, like, the wolves and all the animals out there all got radiation. Mm. And they find it. Like, they're perfectly fine with it because, you know, say, like, if you're a wolf that's been drinking radiation water and then you give birth to an irradiated wolf babies and...
With a two-headed wolf baby.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That was the reason why I was watching, because I wanted to see some mutants running around, but
yeah, we never saw it. A few deers that looked kind of off.
Were they too big?
Yeah, they were taking special ed class.
Oh, come on, man.
What?
I might run for president one day, man. You ain't canceling me.
Chris Unholy for president. Check out episode 143. Like, hey, can you vouch for your boy?
Like, I don't even know. I've never met him in my life.
I was like, hey, that's not even Chris.
Like, he forced me to be there.
That's not him. Let him be president.
But yeah, man. Okay. So, yeah, but no, radiation is bad, man. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. And it's all in space. That's what makes space so dangerous.
But what's wild is that, like, you know how microwaves give off radiation? Mm-hmm. And you know, like, when you're microwaving food, your parents are like, hey, go in the next room because you're going to get radiation poison.
Yeah,
stop. Meanwhile, I'm looking at my cup noodle.
It's just spinning.
I was like, damn.
Wait for that 1 second so it don't be like, go, like, no loud beep, beep. Stop it at 1 second.
I let it go beep, beep.
No, I do. I mean, I'm by myself.
I let this shit ride out. Like, beep, beep, beep.
Sometimes I let it keep beeping if I'm in another room, though.
Yeah.
As a reminder, like, oh, I need to get my tea and reheat.
Yeah, my microwave is crazy. Like, if I don't do nothing, it keeps going.
Yeah, mine won't stop.
I was like, that's so stupid.
I'm like, what if this shit lasts forever?
I was like, it lasts forever because I was doing everything for an hour. it still kept going. I was like, oh, yeah, I got food in there.
Your dinner.
Shell Shock says Chris has more skeletons in the closet than native schools. What? He ain't gonna be president.
That's true, man. I do have too much shit.
Yeah, you gotta clean up all your mess, man.
Yeah, I got too much cringeworthy shit in my past. So I'm not trying to relive that shit when I run for president. Remember this time you asked this girl out on a date? Like, oh my god, this is a campaign ad. Oh my god, I can't run. I was so fucking stupid back then. I thought she really loved me.
You got any stories?
Yes, I do. I got a story.
Right, next story.
Says 3,000-year-old hairs hold the oldest clue about psychoactive drugs used in Europe.
Wait, 3,000-year-old hairs?
Yeah. 3,000-year-old hairs hold the oldest clues about psychoactive drugs used in Europe.
Damn. Yes. 3,000 years ago, they were tripping.
They're tripping, man. Says scientists have discovered direct evidence that people in Europe used psychoactive drugs during the Bronze Age. So that's basically when they started discovering, like, metals and started making swords and shit to kill people. Possibly as part of ancient rituals, traces of alkaloid substances that originate in plants and are known to affect perception and cause delirium and euphoria when preserved in strains of human hair during... human hair dating around 3,000 years ago. Researchers found the hairs along with the funerary artifacts in burial caves of, I'm not gonna try to pronounce his name, but basically it's an island. You ain't gonna get this, man.
Where is it?
Look at this.
Oh, that's pronounced
Escogia. Yo, I'll tell you, this is crazy.
The X is silent.
Equitic. This is wild. But it's basically an island off of Spain. So basically how the story goes is that back in the day, people that was getting buried and everybody at the funeral would, like, turn up with psychoactive shit.
Mm. So they could probably still connect with them.
That's what I was thinking. That was the first thing I thought of, because when I was reading about this, and I didn't really go too deep in trying to figure out why they were doing it. I was just went off the story that was given. I didn't do no extended research about this, but I thought about it And what I was thinking in my brain was, you know what? There's probably like, oh man, what they're still out there somewhere. It's like 3,000 years ago. There was
this yeah, is that's so far,
way back, man. Because they said the, I think they said the year was back through was it like 1400 BC or some shit. So this is before Jesus even showed up to town.
Jesus walks. Yeah. Hold on, Jesus. We still tripping.
Yeah, he wouldn't even a twinkle in his great granddaddy's eye. This is way before.
I can't even imagine, like, what were they even seeing in the psychedelic trips? Because I would think it's probably, like, whatever they're seeing is, it's really ancient times. Because some stuff I saw, it really is. It went back to ancient times. But I saw a lot of futuristic shit, too. So I'm wondering if they did it 3,000 years ago, did they saw, like, similar futuristic shit?
Yeah, actually, what I was going to go into, like, with the visions produced with the stuff they was ingesting in a little bit, because they was talking about, like, okay, they did, like, some of the plants they was taking for the psychoactive stuff was like related to like nightshade, so like real dangerous shit. And then some,
what's nightshade?
I think nightshade, if I was taking, is like a very poisonous plant type stuff, and they were taking psychoactives that was in the family of nightshade, but not is exactly like a full-blown nightshade. So it was like close to bringing them close to death, but not that.
Was it like a root plant?
For what I was seeing, it looked like it was just like a root plant. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it might be ibogaine. Like, this is what they use like in Africa.
I think so. Let me see. Is it? Oh no, I was like, what was?
Yeah, no. What's wild is like these psychoactive like compounds is found in like so many different type of plants, and even animals too. Like, you can eat like a fish in the ocean known for being psychoactive and shit, and you can trip out just by eating a fish.
Yeah, there's like some fish out there that can like make you trip balls.
Yeah, so it's wild how like it gets carried on within nature, like throughout different you know, various like plants and animals and shit.
Yeah, man, this is way before LSD, before LSD was even a fucking an idea. But people have been rocking this shit since back then. They were saying actually, I'll get that in a second, but let me go back to this. I'm going off track. It says chemical analysis revealed that stimulant endorphin in the hairs, and analysis also detected atropine and cyclopamine. Woof! I stumbled on that one. Both are psychoactive compounds that are used to disorient, used to cause distortion, sensory disposition, and vivid hallucinations.
Damn.
Says with these new findings, says we're presenting the earliest evidence of drug consumption in European prehistory. So this is like the furthest back in Europe history where they found, because I'm pretty sure that these scientists are looking at, it's crazy how they got divisions for every type of historical type of shit. But I'm guessing they study drug usage in Europe, and they keep going back further and further. And right now, this is the earliest in European history.
That's crazy.
Where drugs were being used, and it's being used for burial ceremonies, which, like we were saying before, it makes kind of sense where somebody passes away. And it's like, how do they know the concept of like, okay, somebody dies, they're going somewhere else? You would think like the people back then would be like, man, they dead, the end. I mean, did they believe in something back then?
I think though.
That's kind of, I'm like, what God did they believe in? I think
back then they were way more spiritual. Way more. They're way more connected to like earth and the spiritual realm. That's why like it does make sense. Like when you say like they were doing these type of like rituals at like a burial where like the people that was at the funeral was actually taking a hallucinogenic out there. And the only thing I can think of is like they are trying to still make that connection with the dead that's being passed on. So I'm thinking maybe it's like the ultimate final farewell.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let me catch you in the spirit realm. It's like give you my last goodbye because I wasn't there when you were alive.
Yeah. It was it reminded me of back before 9/11, pre 9/11 world, where people could walk you all the way up to the front gate of the plane. Mm-hmm. Like they let you go through security checkpoint, all that shit. I feel like this is what it is like the spiritual. Yep. Hey, we'll take you right to where the plane, you know, the little. Yeah,
make sure you have a safe passage for the next.
We're going to wave you off and.
Like, peace out, Spirit Airline.
Spirit Airline.
Spirit Airline.
It says, so this place, this location, it was actually discovered. The S. It was discovered in 1995, the place that we tried to pronounce earlier. It says the entrance is like 82 feet deep off of a top cliff. And basically there's seven chambers within the cavern. So when he was holding these funeral ceremonies at, the site was actually at the top of this hill. It was discovered back in 1995. And when they started digging around it, they actually found 200 adults and children and females were buried there. And with the bodies they had like uncovered and the hair samples they was looking at, So apparently at these funerals, there was like a type of class system. So everybody went to the funeral to bury for the burial. Not everybody was allowed to use the psychedelics now. Mm. It was like a specific type of people, and certain type of people that got buried, you know, they just buried and did regular ceremonies. But if you were like, they seemed like it was going off of a type of class system back then.
Whoa.
Class system back then. Cause they were like, okay, you're dead, you know, whatever. They were like, they found like some type of paint particles in their hair. Like some people's hair would like dyed red. So when they buried them into the ground, and then certain people, I don't know if it was like family members of the people that was allowed to do it, but only specific people doing the funeral were allowed to use it. So it wasn't just like, whoa, everybody was turning up.
That's crazy.
But it shows like a type of class system. Like, okay, is it doing it based because the people are rich? Was it just family members just doing this? They see their loved one off at the front gates to like, you know, we're going to walk you there.
I guess not everybody can go through that, huh?
Yeah, so not everybody was taking it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so that's what you're saying. Like, it's either a classism thing or this shit's only for family of the loved one who just died, not for everybody. We ain't got that much resource of psychedelics. You know, we got to... this is just...
Yeah, because I was thinking about that shit, too. I was like, no way everybody can take this.
Yeah, everybody's not built for it either.
It's just made for like the selected few, like, I guess. Or if you ever get to that point where you're in the path of taking that journey. Mm. Because not everybody's is going to hit somebody to where they're actually going to take that journey. Because this is rare. It's still super rare.
Yeah, for people to...
You just got to know people that know people.
Yeah. Says some of the stuff they was using, the compounds that was detected in the hair, was things such as devil's snare, mandrake, and joint pine. Mandrake and joint pine.
That's a cool-ass rapper name.
Mandrake. I've heard of mandrake before, too. I might have heard it in a video game, but devil's snare I've heard before. And joint pine, that's a new one. I've never heard of that one.
That sounds like an air freshener.
Right? Some black ice.
Joint pine. It's like, come on.
Sounds better than black ice.
Is that website taken?
Not yet.
Dude, we can make like a soap company right now.
Joint pine.
Call it joint pine.
With oatmeal in the soap?
No. It's going to be mixed with pine sol and black ice.
Shit. Like
the two most addictive smells, personal opinion. Because pine sol, when, you know, the lunch lady's cleaning the room with pine sol.
Oh, it smells good.
I was like, this shit is so addicting. I just want to stay in the room the whole time.
This ammonia smells good.
Black ice smells good, too. But imagine mixing both of them together.
Joint pine.
Jointpine.com.
And for all you crazy folks like me out there, they should make a soap that smells like gasoline.
I love the smell of gasoline, too. Dude, when I was like,
I don't know what's wrong with me.
When I was like doing the grass, right? I don't know if I did this subconsciously, but I spilled gasoline on my hand. I don't know if I did on purpose. Yeah, I was like, if I did on purpose, I got a problem. But I was putting in like the weed whacker or whatever. Spilled that shit all over my hand. I was like, oh God.
Oh no, I spilled gasoline on me.
Oh no.
Oops, I keep spilling it.
Oh no. I didn't do that. I didn't wipe it on my face. But
so I was pouring gasoline on yourself. Oh no.
But yeah, I was like, damn, gasoline smells good as shit.
It does, man.
Yeah, fresh from the tap.
I'll be seeing Atlanta traffic. I'm like, somebody just got gas, man, and dripped on the side of their car. Smell it from here.
Yeah.
Okay, so that.
Yeah, that's fun.
This is a vision. Okay, so we're going to talk about the visions. It says visions produced by ingesting psilocybin and atropine can be violent and unpleasant. It says like doing these ceremonies, actually another culture, they say in Peru, they was doing the same thing too, using psychedelics, doing funerals, but they would actually drink the psychedelic drugs from an ancient trophy head of a sacrificed Nazca child in Peru.
Oh, yeah.
So they would use like a child skull and.
Yeah, I can definitely see like Peru doing stuff like that, because Peru is ancient too. Like, and they have all these weird ass stuff like with the Nazca lines and stuff like in Peru.
Yeah.
And they have like all these ancient sites and stuff, and you would think like Peru might be one of the stomping grounds of the sky gods or whatever you want to call them.
Right.
That was one of the spots, the hot spots, like with a bunch of alien activity, and they have a lot of history with all that shit. So like I would imagine like they've been dabbling with other realms with using psychedelics.
I was like, man, this place is boring, man. Let's take a vacation. Go. They can't travel, so they can probably just...
Like, goddamn, I saw, like, the year 2019.
Like, shit, I was running on Saturn's rings, man.
COVID, what? I saw everything. COVID. Like, that's not important. I won't be here for a long time. make no sense.
But, yeah, but that's it for that story. That was
a good-ass story.
I knew he was going to dig this one.
I've never heard that before.
He was going to dig this one. When I saw it, I was like, ooh. I was like, but they're going to like this one.
3,000 years ago. And
turning up, man.
Finding, like, you know, evidence of dumb using psychedelics 3,000 years
ago? At funerals? This wasn't even for fun. This was, like, for funerals. So
yeah, funerals?
It shows that they had an idea of afterlife.
Yeah, that's definitely, like, a connection to other realms. And they knew about this a long time ago. So, come on.
Man, they knew it, man.
Fast forward to today, we're like babies.
It's evil. Don't do it. Don't do psychedelics.
All right, I got to take a leak real quick. We'll be right back.
All
right. And we're back. All right, next story. All right, so a pastor finally buried 2 years after his death because the family was awaiting his resurrection. So a South African pastor, Siva Moodley, died in August 2021. His family was expecting him to come back to life, so they left his body at the mortuary.
Damn.
Because they really believe, like, he's going to come back to life. So they just left him there. They refused to give consent for the burial or cremation. They didn't want them to even touch the body. They said, don't cremate him. Don't do no burial because he's going to come back. Just chill. Daddy coming back. Daddy, chill.
Chill, Daddy.
That video's crazy.
Oh, that's a classic, man. That's a video's crazy. Shit.
That shit went full circle.
It did. It really did.
Yeah, like all the classic videos are coming back.
They're coming back, man. Yeah, I've been noticing that. I'm like, this is old, but it's coming back in rotation for the new generation.
All right, so like at the mortuary, they contacted the family multiple times to obtain like their consent, but the family, you know, they're like, no, we don't want to do it. But the mortuary, like, hey, what are we gonna do with this dead body that's like stinking up the whole place? Like, we gotta burn it up or something, you know, throw it in the trash or whatever.
Right.
So it got to the point where the high court authorized like a mandatory burial or cremation due to the, like, health hazards posed by the body of the family member's refusal to dispose it. So the body, Moodley's body, was finally laid to rest last month, March 16th, after spending almost 600 days in mortuary.
Shit.
And they're like, hey, it's been 600 days. He never came back.
Guys, I'm sad to tell you this, but he's not coming back. They'd be like, shut up.
Yeah, even till today, like, his wife and two children, they did not attend the ceremony, but they continue to lead like the miracle center in pastor's place, and they never mention anything in social media that he passed away. So still, like,
they can accept it.
They're not accepting it, and
that's sad.
600 days later, they're like, no, like, even though, like, days. The mortuary, they had to do it because it's by law now, because they're going to get sick.
Yeah,
so
man.
They did the cremation, and the family was like, no, we're not going because that's daddy coming back.
Daddy's return.
Me, I'd be like,
but he's just rotting away, man.
I was like, take a mushroom trip. Go check him out. He's going to say, like, hey, move
he's
on.
He's not here.
Like, move on.
He's like, you're hungry. Try this.
Life goes on. Like, yeah. Yeah.
You're hungry. Try this psychoactive.
Yeah, it's hard. But
yeah, it's a hard thing for people to process, man. And I mean, shit. It's a hard thing for you to accept, but it is life. And I wouldn't want my dad's body sitting around for 600 days. Some mortuary. I'm like, yo, get in the ground, man.
What's weird is actually, like, in other countries, like, let's say, for example, like Malaysia, for example. Like, in countries like that, when people pass away, they will leave the body in, like, a house for, like, over, I don't know, 100 days before they do the actual burial.
What?
So, like, the dead body will be just laying in the house while people are doing their normal stuff, walking around the house. But there's a dead body in the house the whole time before they actually do, like, the burial. Which I guess is, like, a common thing in other cultures to do.
Yeah, I do that in New Orleans and I think over in Haiti and stuff, all that stuff around there. Mm-hmm. But they do it to where they'll put you in your favorite basketball jersey. And I saw one where, like, they put a dude, like, in some of his favorite basketball jersey, put some put some Ray-Bans on them. They put some Ray-Bans on them, and they sat them like in a. They set them up like Weekend at Bernie's, and like in a reclining chair, in front of like he had like Xbox controller in his lap.
I was gonna say, like, is he playing a game?
It's like it is like, and they do this because they're trying to show like this. I guess when people pass, they want to show.
What he enjoyed in life.
Yes, in life. It was like the hobby, whatever. And like I said, it was Xbox. And
he was on Xbox Live.
And he loved that trash-ass game, Madden. And I was shocked because I was like, man, Madden has been good a long 95. Time. Madden, OG Madden. Mm. But yeah, and it's it looks silly to the, on the outside. But at the same time, I could kind of see where it's, hey, sometimes they parade the body down the street and all types of stuff. Different cultures have different ways of dealing with death.
Yeah.
That should be a topic for like next week too. I was thinking about that too when you went to the
like different cultures coping with death.
Something like that. Because
it all is different. Like in the Philippines or I don't know what country, but they would have like they would have burials and the coffin would be on like on the side of a mountain cliff.
Oh,
like difficult to even put up there. I'm like, damn, like
how they get up there?
I don't know.
Magic.
But it'd be weird, like you would look at these this side of the mountain cliff, you're like a bunch of coffins.
Mm. Yeah. Like,
why is it so hard to bury somebody?
Yeah,
like you heard of like the Tibetan sky funeral, you know about that?
I think we talked about it before, haven't we?
Yeah, it's like when you die, right? They would put your body like in the place where vultures can eat you up.
Oh man.
And they would eat up your body and then, you know, they would fly around and then just shit you out. That's why they call it a sky funeral.
Now you're vulture shit.
Yeah, so they just let the vultures eat you up.
Man.
Which I think is probably, like, the most natural way of actually dying. Because you're going back to nature, like...
Yeah, you're part of Earth, you know?
Give your body back to that vulture.
If you were to pass away, God forbid, how would you want your body to be treated? What would you want to be cremated or dumped in
the grave? I spoke about this many times before.
Really?
But, like, if I were to pass away, anybody listening to this, like, close to me, I want to be cremated. Mm-hmm. And then half of my ashes, I want a drone to carry it over a active volcano.
Oh, you did, Tony.
And drop it in a volcano. Just half of it. And then the other half, like, you guys do whatever you want with the ashes. Like, take shots or whatever.
Yo.
Put in the house. I don't know.
Get a tattoo. You heard a story about a guy with his wife's ashes and
that's
the tattoo ink? Yeah.
I heard, like, a lot of similar stories where they do that.
Yeah, that's pretty
They normal. Put the ashes in the ink.
Which is actually kind of cool, but then... Then you die, then, you know, make your body into ashes and do it again. I mean, yeah. I don't know. That'd be kind of cool. Me, I want to go out like Spock from Star Trek. Where they put him in like in a...
Like a cannonball?
His coffin looked like a glasses case.
Damn.
And they launched him off into space. And he's like...
That's cool, too. But, like, that sounds expensive, too. Like,
yes. I remember some years ago, they was actually talking about how, at least for hypothetical purpose, like space funerals... How much would it cost to like launch people into space? Man, that shit is not cheap.
How much is it?
I can't remember, but it was a lot. So I was like, I see why they just dump bodies on Earth because it's just too much, man. So much money. You gotta think about the because even having a successful launch, you probably have to launch it from space, but that means you gotta pay almost fuel and everything to get up to space and.
Yeah, that's some rich like, boy shit.
We can't even get back to the moon, bro. What you think they're gonna shoot us off in space? But that's what I want. the moon.
That's cool too. Like I would like that too. That's cool. But I wouldn't want to be a burden to like the family where they have to be like, damn, we got to collect all this money because he wants his shit out.
Dude, the funerals are expensive as shit.
I don't want to stress them out. I'm like, man, just buy a drone, a cheap drone.
Burn me in the backyard.
And drop the whole drone with the ashes. Like you don't have to get the drone back.
Yeah, you got to pay no lot. In fact, just throw the drone in there too. Shit.
Yeah. I say drop the drone in there.
I need some company.
And then the volcano's like, I'd be like, I'm everywhere. that's so cool, man.
Yeah, man. So, I don't know. I've said this on the show before, too. I would like to be launched off into space, right? And then like, in the nice
man, air. Man, I'll launch you.
Yes. It's like, beep,
doop, I better make some like billionaire friends. By the time you pass, I'm like, oh, thank God I know Elon's daughter.
Or
his son.
I was going to say, like, Jeff Bezos is like, his head is like in a jar, but it's attached to like a robot's body.
Yeah.
On some like Futurama shit. Mm-hmm. But his head's like in a jar. Just like, he's like, all right, I'll press the button.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then launch me off to space and then I would like to.
What if they're able to, like, by the time like we passed and they're able to actually. Cut off our heads, right? Put in jars, and we're still functional.
They're trying to do that now. They've been trying to do that like a couple years with this dude. he has like this terminal illness where he's gonna clock out no matter what in a certain amount of years, and they're trying to use him for, hey, we can use you for this. We're trying to do like a head transplant. Do you want to be a part of it? He's like, yeah, I'm down. But then a couple years ago, he backed out of it for some unknown reason. Mm. He's like, I don't know, man. I'd rather just die, I guess. I don't know if he did some Google research, but he's like, I don't know. Because like, how you gonna? Because they're talking about like all the nerve connections and everything. Mm. But they're trying to do like the first human head transplant. He was with it at first, but he changed his mind.
Yeah, I imagine like he was still alive, right? And they actually did that. But he was like in the most pain
the whole time. Ever. Yeah.
And then he would just wish he was dead.
Who wants to go through that, man?
I'd be like, nah, man, I don't want to be like a fucking science project.
He probably watched a YouTube video about it. He was like, oh, hell no, I'm good on this. She's a little too painful. But I would like to be shot off into space. And then, say, like 2,000, 3,000 years from now, I get found by like an ancient alien civilization on like a patrol ship. They just pick me up. And they bring me back to life with their alien tech. And then they put a device in my head. It teaches me all their language and shit. They're like, hey, who are you? We found you in this floating coffin. I'm like, my name's Chris Jones. I was born in 1985. They're like,
God damn.
They're like, but it's like, it's 4185. You, where have you been? Like, this is our civilization. And then I meet this new alien race and I fall in love with the alien woman. And I start a war and I fight for the resistance. And I become the leader of this alien planet. I don't know. I like John Carter. So yeah, that's what I would want. But yeah.
That's a good story, right?
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
Let me take a quick break real quick.
Yeah, do you think?
All right, and we're back. I think we're good for today's episode.
That was good. That was a good one, man. We came back with some strong stories.
Yeah, you had a really solid story with the whole psychedelic thing from 2,000 years ago.
I was so excited to tell you this. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. This whole episode could have been just two topics, like with the Egyptian Grand Canyon and then that story. The
second one.
And that would have stretched the whole episode out.
Yeah, man. Because I originally thought about using that for next week.
Ooh, that would have been good too.
And I was like, that could have been a whole damn topic, but
yeah, because I'd never heard of that before.
Yeah. Now I'm curious. I'm going to see, like, I want to, like, look at other cultures and how they deal with, like, burials and stuff. And I don't know, it's interesting. Everybody's got different ways how they grieve and what did they use to help them grieve back then. So I'm going to look up some more stuff and I'll find some. We'll have a topic for next week.
It's definitely fascinating how even 3,000 years ago, how they were doing these rituals with past people passing away. And if you compare it to now, like how they're doing it now, it's very simple now.
Yeah, now it's like almost like a money-making scheme. Like, you got to pay for this plot of land and pay for the funeral and da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, back then, it's like, yo, we put them in the ground, we get high a little bit, connect to the other side a little bit, see them off, and then...
Yeah, how does that even work? Like, when you're buried in a cemetery, right? Like, would you have to pay, like, the real estate to own that little piece of land just for
like
your body to be?
Yeah, for, like, the plot and everything, yeah.
Yeah, that's why, like, I've never understood, like, why they even had cemeteries like that. Because, like, the land is made for people that live, not for people that pass on. That's why I was like, why don't you just get cremated? Use that land for something else. Yeah. It's not... The land is not supposed to be made for, like, people that pass. I think that's the weird thing.
Yeah, I mean,
I came across where I'm coming to the point where I'm like, why do they have cemeteries?
Yeah, I live across the street from a cemetery, and I'm telling you, I sometimes I'm like, man, they could have put something else over there. Because it's got to be hundreds of bodies across the street from me.
Yeah.
They're the best neighbors, though. They quiet as shit. But I don't hear nothing over there.
Literally.
Literally.
Not a peep.
Man, be quiet.
All right, guys. We're going to clock out for the night. Thank you guys for joining us.
Yes, sir.
Peace out. Adios. We'll catch you guys next week.
See you guys.
Adios.